Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Foodie fans, got another great one for you today. Our first repeat guest, Michael Manzi of the Cage Club Podcast Network, you know, just one of its co-founders and host of several podcasts on the network. He's my diner buddy. He's my Jersey diner buddy, you know, New Jersey, king of the diners, land of the diners, I should say. Kingdom, right? King, land, kingdom, kingdom of the diners. But before that, just want to say I'm trying to eat a little healthier. As I got a text message. Trying to eat a little healthier. I've had this Weight Watchers cookbook for a while, and I cooked a meal from it recently. It was like a thyme encrusted pork loin with apricot port sauce, and then I roasted some vegetables, and it was fucking delicious. I don't know if I said fucking delicious, but it was delicious, and I just want to spread the word of just, like, cook, you know. That's one of my questions: do you dine out or you eat home more? You know, I'm trying to eat a little bit more at home and a bit more portion control, which is tough, you know, if I'm cooking for one or even if I'm cooking for two, you know. It's usually, you don't buy just that amount, you're buying like a pork loin or whatever, or, you know, big piece of meat, you got leftovers and you see it there and you're just like, do I cut another slice? And you just gotta say no, gotta say, not today. And, well, you know what, here's me talking with Michael Manzi. So what's going on, Mike? What's new with you?
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for stopping by. I think we were trying to figure out the last time we were hanging out.
Yeah, which I really can't pinpoint. I guess it's been a while before, like, I went to Europe and stuff, and, like...
Mm-hmm. And definitely was... before Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
We go to the diner so often that... sometimes it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
But maybe...
Which is appropriate for today, I guess, but...
Yeah.
You're my diner buddy.
That's right, yeah.
But, yeah, when was the last time we actually hung out in person?
Well, it might have been to record an episode of your podcast, which, hey,
well,
we're doing now.
No, but then we did Return of the Jedi after that. Because remember, I, like, came...
Oh, that was after?
Yeah, that was after.
That'll be out in January.
Yes.
So, everyone stay tuned. I know you mentioned that last week on the Garfield episode, which I found to be quite enjoyable, flying solo.
Thank you. That was very... I'm no Bill Burr, so, like...
who else is, you know? None of us are, but... Yeah, or Marc Maron for that matter, right? Like, he talks for, like, an hour
he has a guest on.
Yeah. But I think he did a good job, so...
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was, a situation of just a guest backing out last minute, and I won't, you know, the show must go on.
Yeah, I like that attitude. Strong attitude.
And so I picked something, you know, that Garfield special was just something I loved as a kid, and it was Halloween appropriate,
yeah.
So...
I watched some of it on YouTube, and I posted that meme on your... on your page.
Yeah, the clown.
The clown. Like, yeah. There's a total it moment from Stephen King where he's watching Binky on TV and he starts talking to him through the television. Straight out of It.
Yeah, that was always scary. And then the ghosts in that. I was a little bit of a chicken shit as a kid.
There were a lot of great Garfield specials when we were kids, I feel like. I think, like, didn't he go to Hawaii at some point, and then he met his mother and ran away, and those were always pretty strong.
He lived the life, Garfield.
you didn't really get too much into lasagna on that episode.
Wasn't. I mean, John had a little lasagna in the beginning of that.
But that's, like, his defining trait, aside from being orange. And hilarious. He loves lasagna.
I guess I'll have to do a more Garfield and talk about lasagna.
I wonder how many. Maybe we'll do the third television special that was released on my feed, and we'll get deep into Garfield lore and the history, how John found him, and Odie.
So tell me, like, what's new in the world of Third Time's a Charm, and then, or just, I mean, and we'll obviously plug at the end, but just let's talk right now, the network, and there's been some new shows that have been announced. That you're...
I'm not even sure I can keep track of everything right now. There's been a lot of stuff. Over on my feed, I've been just, like, putting the pedal to the metal. I think, like, over the last few months, I've released 2 episodes per month, as opposed to my standard 1 episode a month. Yeah. So doubling down, and I think that's going to follow through till most of the next year. And so that's been a lot of fun. So new shows, we have X's for Podcast by Nico and his friends that are sort of like a rotating, you know, group of co-hosts that he has on there where they go deep, deep, deep into the X-Men comics. Like,
they're like they are a rotating group, like the X-Men. Like, you know, people.
Right. No, I love that too. He has like a roster of heroes to pick from to come on once a week, and like he has, like, they each talk about different aspects of the X-Men comic book world, and they go from way back, not from like original X-Men number one, but from like giant size X-Men number one, like in the 70s when Wolverine and Storm and Colossus and sort of like, and the new wave of X-Men were introduced, like Nightcrawler.
Yeah, that's when, okay.
So that's a really cool podcast. I've been really getting into that. It's been making me go back and start reading more comics lately. So that's always great.
Yeah, I was never a big comic book guy, but obviously in the world of comic book movies.
Right.
There's a tie into comics given one of our leads in the film today, but,
You mean that he's a comedian? No. Or that he's in comic books?
That he's...
There is one guy in a comic book movie. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
Sin City.
No, and something...
Oh, okay. Yeah. One that I haven't picked up on. No. Oh, and Kevin Bacon. Yeah, speaking of X-Men.
Thinking that.
Not Kevin Bacon? Because he's in First Class.
Yeah, he's in First Class.
Right, that's one of my favorite X-Men movies.
They shouldn't have killed him off. But
Well, they could always bring him back in a, like, a prequel kind of way, I guess.
But I mean, I loved the X-Men cartoon growing up. That was like, They need to use that in a movie.
I think they snuck some of it in X-Men Apocalypse at some point, but most people might have been like not paying
asleep
attention
by that point, because X-Men Apocalypse.
I liked it, but
really,
I enjoyed it for what it is. Just, I guess, because I'll take anything I can get. And I always enjoy Fassbender, and I always enjoy McAvoy. So at least it was cool that they were in it. Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah.
As, you know, Poe Dameron. Right? So anytime
he's such a good actor. He's so underutilized.
But it was cool to know that he's down to hide behind all that makeup, you know, hide his handsome face, you know.
Yeah.
his beautiful rebel face behind all that makeup. So, I don't know. It was interesting. There's a new one coming out. It was supposed to come out in February, and I had, like, a whole thing planned, timed with it, but it got pushed to June.
Oh, is that the...
That's the Dark Phoenix, the redo of the Dark Phoenix that they're doing.
Might be interesting.
Yeah.
But, so we've got that new podcast, and then you are a part of, a couple new podcasts.
Yeah, right? So Joey and I announced 2 new shows that we're going to be doing together starting next year. Collectively, it's called the Tom Tom Club. So we're going to do all the films of Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise.
There you go.
So it's Hanks for the Memories for the Tom Hanks podcast and Cruise Club for Tom Cruise podcast.
Should Nicolas Cage feel threatened that, like, it's... I mean,
Oh,
there's a club
no, no. Well, Keanu has his own club.
But that was with another K, right?
That was
So
true.
this
So,
is.
Cage has, believe me, Cage has nothing to worry about. He released about seven movies this year when all's said and done.
Yeah, and
So,
like a
like,
hit movie too,
yeah,
with
and
Mandy,
so he's
which I
back
still
on
need
the
to see.
map. You know, he's back on the mainstream map, at least we'll say. He was never off of our charts.
No.
And there's plans that I can't talk about now, possibly in the future, that to
Ooh.
ensure that Cage Club never dies. So don't worry about Cage. He's always top priority.
It's intriguing.
But those two shows are going to alternate every other week. So, you know, they're each going to be their own thing, but I think we're going to be sort of comparing them a lot as we go along as actors' careers and choices.
I've never thought about this before, but they kind of started their careers around the same time, Cruise and Hanks, right? Like they like
They were huge 80s icons at, I feel
yeah,
like by the 90s.
and then got like more critical acclaim in like the 90s.
Yeah,
Hanks more so than Tom Cruise. I mean, not that, I mean, we don't have to, it's plenty you'll talk about
wait for
on
the
the pod.
show,
Yeah, exactly.
but
But I
yeah,
mean,
there's a
you
lot
know,
to talk about.
yeah, I mean, Tom Cruise, plenty of hits in the 90s. I mean, like Jerry Maguire, and I mean,
Hey, Color of Money. I mean, Tom Hanks never didn't work with Scorsese, so you know.
No. Oh, and you'll finally watch fucking Road to Perdition.
I know, man. Did you get that episode? Check your inbox. I hope you signed up for that
I
one.
hope,
'Cause I
I
think
think
I might have told
I
Joey.
think I had
I
to.
think I told Joey, oh, Kyle's gonna be pissed at me if I don't put him on this. He's been telling me about
No, I'll just
to
be
watch this
happy
for
that
so
you
long.
finally watched this awesome movie that like
Watch
made
Green
me
Mile,
also.
which I love, so little sneak.
You never saw Green
I
Mile
hadn't
before?
seen it until like maybe 2015 or so, and you were like, you haven't seen Green Mile?
It's a
So,
Frank Darabont movie. Talk about
right.
that's someone that should be on cine talked about on
Good call.
Cinemakers,
Right in.
right?
Right into Cinemakers and let us know because we love fan mail.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good one for Cinemakers. Yet another podcast on the network. But
Yeah, so that's pretty big news, you
yeah,
know.
Pretty awesome.
Can just be staying busy, productive.
Everything's good with Third Time's a Charm. You've been just reading
Oh yeah, lots of
away.
new,
Yeah.
been finding lots of weird new novelizations and
Yeah,
new.
I'm looking at a stack of books next to you.
Oh, those are mostly my comics that I pulled
Oh,
out,
okay.
but because of X's for podcasts, it's like I'm gonna go pull out a bunch of books, comic books, but in my closet, I could show you after. I've been stocking up on some obscure books and movies and novelizations, and I've also done some episodes without novelizations, without book club. You know, I just recorded my Christmas episode with Brian, which will be out December 3rd, which is for Christmas vacation, and
Ooh.
that is based on an article.
You never think that that's like the third one in the series, but I mean, it is. You know,
Yeah,
like,
well,
you know,
I'm considering it.
Oh no, it's
yeah.
oh no, most
Yeah.
definitely is, but just you know, it doesn't have the lack of a better word, cachet of like part three. You know, like
No,
you know,
right. 'Cause I guess
they're just very
because
separate movies.
it's not the third National Lampoon's movie. It's just the third National Lampoon's Vacation
Yeah.
movie, so like I think in a sense people don't consider it a part three as much, or just doesn't
That's a
come to
Christmas
mind.
classic. That's like some people's favorite
Yeah,
vacation movie.
which is why I was surprised there's no novelization, but it was based off of the original John Hughes article, Christmas 59.
Yeah.
So that sort of I was like, well, I'm gonna read that article, and if there's anything to pull or talk about the differences, I'll do that on the show, and there was, and I did. So that's sort of, you know, integrating source material now. So I think from time to time, if there isn't a novelization of a book, but there's sort of like a source novel of some kind, if there's time in my life, I'll read that from time to time, just to keep, 'cause I just the getting into the novelizations has just made me reading more in general, more other stuff too. Like I've been sneaking other books in between the novelizations. So, you know, I've always wanted to try and do like a podcast about, you know, adaptations and stuff, so maybe this is a way I can sneak a couple into my show.
You have a healthy literary appetite.
Well, no one wants to do an actual book club podcast
Yeah.
because I just feel like it's, you know, it's a lot to ask a
It would
guest
be a
to read
lot
a
to,
whole
yeah.
book, you
Yeah.
know, once a week or something,
Sure.
and it's not feasible, not within our circle. But I mean, when we're all extremely busy in our personal lives and stuff, so.
Yeah, that would be
But
book
it's a way
clubs
to
in
get it in
general,
there.
like you read like a book once a month, I feel like book
Yeah.
like general like town book clubs, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how to read, so
So that's what's up.
Anything new? And I feel like the last time, so I had you on for Soylent Green.
It's still made of people. They didn't change the recipe like they promised.
Any new recent, like any, try anything new recently in the food world?
Any new food?
No. You also talked about like you were going to ask your mom to like maybe make that dish again.
She did. I asked her.
So what, remind us of the dish.
So I called it chicken with white sauce.
Yeah.
And I asked her, what's the sauce?
Yeah.
And she says, it's just chicken sauce. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think it's just stock and butter and
yeah,
like fat maybe, and a little, just mix it up with some cream sauce, or and there you go.
Yeah.
But I asked her to make it, and she did. She prepared it.
What kind of sides are we like?
Rice, stuffing,
yeah,
broccoli.
Nice hearty meal.
Yeah.
Feels very
That was good.
Very good for this time of year. I don't know if you had it just
in October.
Okay,
it was October,
yeah.
So
it's a good fall.
It worked out really well.
Like.
Yeah. The other day I had Wendy's, my favorite fast food, and I almost Instagrammed the show in a picture post. Because I had it like all lined up with your podcast on my computer screen and the Wendy's coming. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe next time.
Yeah, next time, please. Yeah, guys, like, please. Reach out and like tag. Nothing would make me happier if you're like tagging, you know, do hashtag foodie films anytime you're out, just for regular food, but especially if you're at a place that you realize was part of a movie, or if you're at a movie theater and you're eating something that's related to it's, you know, the end is going to be a little different because it's not going to be like the same questions. But I have one new question that I'm adding, I realize is good, that like when I have new guests on, I'm adding that. So I'll ask it to you at the end, and then also I have kind of like a more of like a answer that's a bit like we'll have hopefully like a little conversation about as well.
Cool.
But let's get into Diner, which is I had you on because it's the sequel to Soylent Green. I mean the prequel. It's the prequel. So this movie takes place in Baltimore. I totally forgot that it's like a period piece.
Yeah.
It's one
Me
of those
too.
Movies. I feel like the 80s were, I mean, God knows we make plenty of period pieces now, but I feel like the 80s were like a time of creating period pieces.
I think that is just part of film history in general. There's
you
always
think, like,
been,
every
I
decade,
mean, like, think of Gone with the Wind is even, you know, about the Civil War, and that was 1939, that was a huge hit.
I guess so. I guess it's, that's even jumping for, so when that was made, yeah, like you said, 1939, and that's jumping back to, like, the 1860s, so that's even bigger.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at maybe is what I'm feeling, too, is it feels more in line with, like, a nostalgia piece,
yes,
in a way. Like,
yeah,
it feels like, because this is Levinson, right?
Yeah.
Barry Levinson, it almost feels like this is his experience in the way when you watch American Graffiti.
I was
like,
just
that's George
say,
Lucas's
yes.
experience, and when you watch certain films from nowadays with, you know, adult filmmakers trying to recreate their past, and like, I haven't seen it yet, but stuff like Jonah Hill's mid-90s, right?
Yeah.
Like, I suspect, like, that's a modern sort of version of something in the vein of Diner, where you're just trying to capture, you know, what it was like for you through your lens growing up as a, you know, 20-year-old or teenager.
Yeah, and just, like, capturing that, you know, like he did, like George Lucas did with American Graffiti, or, like, not that I haven't seen mid-90s yet, but it seems like maybe it's not, like, one place in the movie, but it's just, it's the skate scene. Like, it's about, like, hanging out with your friends and skating around and that kind of stuff. So that was probably maybe a big part of Jonah Hill growing up, or at least obviously it was, like, I didn't even skate, but I remember, like, hanging out with friends, and I was riding my bike, and they'd be skating, and they'd hold on to the back of your bike or whatever.
Right.
But this, so this is for, you know, a group of, I don't know exactly, they're all within college age, so, I mean, they're post-high school.
Because one of them's a dropout. One of them's a college dropout.
Yeah, one's going for his master's.
One's back visiting because it's a wedding.
Yeah.
The Gutenberg's getting married.
Gutenberg's getting
we'll get
married.
Into, we got to get deep into the cast later.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, right around, you know, 20, 21, that sort of zone right there. You know, right before you start the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Is sort of the cusp of that, is, I feel like, what this is really getting
down
to.
One friend is married already, Daniel Stern.
That's right, yeah.
And, but, yeah, so it was made in 1982, but it's about, takes place in Baltimore, and right at the end of 1959. It's Christmas Day.
It's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
Christmas
I didn't remember that
it's
either.
It's a Christmas, like, wedding movie, so it feels like that's a, I don't know.
It's a twofer.
Yeah.
I'd only seen this once, and I haven't seen it since, like, high school, so it's been, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
At least.
I haven't seen this film in a while as well. But, I mean, like you said, Barry Levinson. So, I mean, he's made some pretty classic movies. Rain Man, Toys.
Yeah. Toys. Let's not. Toys isn't quite a. Is it a classic? Is
that it's
quite,
Robin Williams, so I don't know. I feel
yeah,
like
but I mean.
I feel like everyone knows the cover.
I mean, like, they did a. There's a great How Did This Get Made about that's one of the first I listened to, but, like, that movie is bizarre. It's bizarre. I mean, okay.
So we'll say memorable movies then.
That's better.
Sleepers, The Natural, Young Sherlock Holmes, Good Morning Vietnam, and then recently,
more
in more recent years, he's kind of a staple in the HBO film. So he did You Don't Know Jack, The Wizard of Lies, and Paterno.
Oh, okay.
So he's a director that, like, I know he likes to, you know, repeat, like, work with actors. He worked with Dustin Hoffman a lot. Robin Williams, mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon, and then it seems like, I guess, Al Pacino with You Don't Know Jack and Paterno.
Oh,
I didn't know about the kids.
Listen,
he was in the pool with the kids, Barbara. I don't know if that's Paterno's wife's name. I just decided to say Barbara.
I liked Pacino as he was Phil Spector too, wasn't he? That
yeah.
was a bizarro movie as well.
Didn't
that's
direct.
Really
that's another HBO one, but I guess I didn't see that he directed
okay.
that. So.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I like this movie. I think it's a good movie. I mean, I saw some scores are like through the roof, you know, 5 stars and all that, but I didn't, I mean, it's cool and all, but yeah, like what's interesting to me is how, you know, you're saying like what did your sort of experiences or memories, where was the place it revolved around? Like maybe so for Jonah Hill, it was around like the skate park or something like that.
Yeah.
And like for Barry Levinson, clearly him and his friends lived at the diner.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is, like, the nexus of
I mean, it's Baltimore.
Of society
here. I don't know
here.
What else there is to be in
Baltimore. Yeah. I mean, all I know about Baltimore is, like, John Waters and The Wire. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Baltimore. I mean, those are two amazing things.
Yeah. I don't know why I said in the Boston accent, but I know they have a harbor. I know crabs. I know for, you know, but what does he say in Wedding Crashers? Crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does.
There you go.
That's what I know about Maryland.
So, yeah, so I found that very interesting. I mean, as a youth, especially in high school, like, my friends and I, we lived at the diner. I mean, every Friday night and Sunday morning, I think we were there.
I was going to say.
Many days after school.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what, you know, kind of a two-part question. Like, what was your hangout? And what, like, was it just a diner? And then if so, what diner?
Yeah, so for the most part, it was the suburban diner.
Okay.
Before
yeah,
I think I mentioned
of,
last
yeah.
time, before it
and
burned down and
down.
Was
yeah.
rebuilt as sort of more of like a split family restaurant
yeah.
or some type of something just a little nicer than a diner. And I mean, I can almost remember the first time I was there. And, you know, like realizing, oh, I think we're going to be coming back here a lot.
That's
and,
awesome.
And,
that's
like,
a good feeling.
Originally, like, we were a bunch of punks, right? So, like, we were being kind of dicks, I guess, that night. And the next time we were there, or no, right before we left, like, a really big tip and, like, a apology note
mm-hmm.
to the waitress saying, like, hey, like, we realize we're giving you a really hard time. Like,
wow.
Here's a tip.
This is, like, and in high school?
Yeah. Yeah. One of my friends, the guitarist for My Five Dads,
oh, yeah.
was, like, I think he was a little more, like, guys, like, on the ball about, like, we should really, you know, if we want to come back
yeah.
here, maybe we should, like, act a little, like, better towards these people, all that kind of things, like, you know, just sort of our conscience at times, and so we did, and, like, then we just kept coming back, and, you know, there was even, at one point, it got to a point where, like, waitresses would sit down and, like, hang out with us
really?
As we were eating for a while, or, like, take our
awesome.
Order and stuff, and, like, nicknamed some of us mm-hmm. with their own names, trying, you know,
wow.
trying to remember our
this
names
is a movie of nicknames.
And everything. Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I just, like, vivid memories of doing that just all the time.
And back then, I mean, last episode we kind of talk to you even about like what we get diners? Were you getting the same thing back then, or do you remember like your favorite?
Yeah, so that's when I first started eating like the Taylor ham egg and cheeses, the bacon egg and cheese sandwiches. I omelets all the time, like just like
Omelets.
trying out all different kinds of omelets and landing a lot on like the I don't know why, but I would always have like a lot of vegetables in my omelets, like broccoli and cheese and stuff in it, and yeah, like Mexican omelets, just going crazy with the breakfast foods and stuff. And that's yeah,
Some
mostly the breakfast.
Brenner, late night Brenner.
So here's one funny thing that comes to mind that kind of became like a running gag every time we went in there. They would have like the little displays of desserts on the counters and everything like that. So at one point, I was like, you know what, guys, like, I'm going for it. Like, I'm getting the chocolate cake. So I got like I ordered the piece of the thing on the menu that was the picture. I'm like, oh, bring me this thing in the picture. And it came to the table, and it could not have looked anything less like what I had ordered, right? But it was what I had ordered. And so like I think I brought the person back. I was like, look, I'm not asking to return this. I just want you to be aware, like it does not look anything like the picture. And so the phrase, it's not like the picture, became like a running gag like within our group of friends. Like anytime we sort of got gypped on something or
It's
it
not like
wasn't
the
what you were
picture.
expecting, it's like it's just not like it is in the picture. Such a rip off.
Know, something I realized in this movie, because Daniel Stern goes on this whole tirade of his records.
Oh yeah. Man, by the way, you can touch my records all you want.
Okay,
No
thank
one,
you.
everyone can just
I
browse
have
my
mine in
records.
alphabetical order.
Yeah, mine are mostly in order,
If
but
it's
whatever.
persons like if it's Stevie Wonder, it's under W, but if it's like, like
Shaka Khan is under
Chaka Khan would
C.
be C,
Okay.
yeah. So there
Gotcha.
you go. But he goes on his whole tirade, and I don't know if I ever thought about it before, but the phrase "catch you on the flip side,"
Yeah.
I didn't think about like because I mean I like I didn't I mean my dad had records, but like I when I was young I wasn't purchasing records and I wasn't thinking about the flip side of the record,
Oh, the B side.
the B side. But that's what he's in the movie. He's saying like what's on the flip side?
Yeah.
It's
Oh,
in the
okay.
B side. And I just
I
never.
guess at having been a DJ, like just that was
Catch you
because
on
I
the flip
have
side.
we should I wish I could do a podcast about my 45s one day, but like yeah, just going through records and famous A sides, famous B sides, and it's the sense memory of when you first heard that record. And I mean, I think he takes it too far, quite honestly, but there's not a lot of time to establish everybody. Like, there's a lot of characters in this movie, and it does a pretty good job of juggling them,
Yeah, there's
but
a lot of characters, and they all pretty much have arcs except for I'm gonna find Paul Reiser's character,
yeah, I feel like he kind
Model.
of disappears a little bit throughout the movie.
Yeah, he's like in the beginnings. He's well, so I read that number one, they shot all the non-diner scenes first
Okay,
for the cast to become acquainted. So then in the diner scenes, it really felt
yeah, and it
like
does.
yeah, it does. And also all of the guys of the cast. Barry Levinson had them come a week before they started shooting, and they all hung out. And Daniel Stern actually was married in real life too, and so he didn't like go out. Like supposedly these guys partied hard and like did
Well,
like crazy
you
things
got
together.
like Mickey Rourke in there, so I could imagine the party, weren't casual. Like, I'm sure they got a little wild with him, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we should say is, I mean, the lead cast right now, you've got Steve Guttenberg playing Eddie,
Yes.
Mickey Rourke playing Boogie, Kevin Bacon playing Timothy Fenwick or Fen or Wick or Fenwick, whatever he.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Daniel Stern playing Shrevie, Tim Daly playing Billy, Ellen Barkin playing Beth, and Paul Reiser playing Modell.
Okay, so quick story again.
Michael Tucker also playing Bagel, and just because I said that, because I mean, you can recognize Michael Tucker from Some Things, but I love a nickname Bagel.
Quick story about Paul Reiser. He was in a sitcom called My Two Dads,
Oh,
which
I
was
know about that
where,
about you, not My Two Dads.
okay, yeah, and that's where our band got the name My Five Dads was so, partially from that sitcom.
Now, I don't know if the foodie fans know, but like, because this is a, I don't want to take anything away from High School Slumber Party. I know that's mm-hmm. like become like a thing. For
well, if they'll ever have me back on, no, right. I'm just kidding, just joking.
But just briefly explain My Five Dads and
was
just,
my band in well the band that I was in high school.
Yeah,
and there were four of us. Mm-hmm. Well, originally there were five and. You know, then it was down to four, and we liked yeah. the name so much, we just ended up keeping the name. But it was partially based on the TV show, the name My Two Dads.
Ah, okay.
Which was a show I watched a lot growing up as a kid, and Paul Reiser was one of the dads.
What was the show about?
It was about a... Oh, okay, so there were two dads, and the mother wasn't sure who the father was.
Okay.
And I think she passed away before they could find out. And this is like before DNA tests, I think, or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
And the judge was like part of the show. And she's like, you both get equal custody. And so they all moved in together into an apartment. And the teenage girl had two dads growing up. But they were straight.
Yeah.
And
at first, I thought it was going to be a very progressive.
Well, that would have been nowadays. Like, if they remade it, that could be cool. But then it was very much about, like, how are we going to get her to sleep so we could go out on dates? And, like, how can I get my date into the house without my teenage daughter? Like, yeah, there was a lot of those plot lines going on. But, again, there was a lot of also just teenage, you know, it was a teenage comedy
yeah.
kind of thing. So,
and then also, I remember from the episode, so you're... Because the song you played on a High School Slumber Party, that was...
Chinese food.
Yeah,
so yeah.
I just bring that up because it's food-related. Again,
no,
Brian,
absolutely.
If you're listening, well, thank you for listening.
And you want to play it? It's only like a minute long. I could send you the file.
Brian, I promise you, this is I'm not stealing a segment, but we're going to play Chinese food for you right now.
Yeah, no, I thought of that afterwards, though, playing that. I was like, maybe I should have debuted that on Kyle's show and played Brian a different song. But there's plenty of other songs to come along. Like, I hope I get back on that show soon because I want to get more of those songs out there.
Well, I'm glad at least more people are hearing it via this podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's pretty cool. You should make music videos for them now.
That would be fun. I'd like that. Well, now is like the official release. It's like it's become, you know, this... bizarre, obscure, sort of limited release where you have to listen to these podcasts to hear the songs. And if you eventually listen to all the ones that I guest on and release a song on, you mm-hmm. can collect the entire EP and put it together yourself. And
it's like
maybe if you play it backwards, you'll summon a Dark Lord. Or, I know, I'm just kidding.
It's like when you like at, you know, like prizes at like, you know, in a cereal box that you're getting a piece by piece.
Yeah.
The, you know.
Or like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
All right? And then at the end, you put it all together, and you're like, that's it? Ah.
Do you have any other food-related songs?
Oh, yeah. There's one about pizza.
Hey.
Yeah. The Pizza Man, specifically.
So again, I'm not
It's
Brian,
called Pizza Man.
I'm not trying to steal a segment from you. Do not get upset with me.
We're playing it right. No, just kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, the debut of Pizza Man on the podcast network. Okay, so we finished saying the what actors were in it. But it said that they did all the diner
Oh, so
scenes.
who's the actor? Is Tim Daly the superhero actor you were thinking of? Because
Yes.
it is, okay, because I'm like, as we go along, there's more and
Well,
more popping out.
two things I want to say about Tim Daly.
Wings and
Yes, so
Superman.
yeah, Wings and Superman. Yeah.
I love it. I
So,
love
okay,
it.
so you know Superman.
Oh, absolutely. What
Yeah.
am I, like,
Well, you didn't bring that up, so I wasn't sure.
who am I?
That's
Dark
actually like,
Side, just finding out about
I'm just
Superman
saying,
for the
compared
first
to,
time?
I mean, Mickey Rourke being, whatchamacallit, Iron Man 2.
Oh, I was thinking Sin City
Oh,
with
Sin
Mickey
City.
Rourke, but yeah, he was Whiplash in Iron Man 2.
Whiplash, and then.
Kevin Bacon was in X-Men First Class.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Daly had the longest career, and just, I mean, I guess the most
Yeah,
icon being the voice of the
great
not, like
voice for Superman.
90s Superman cartoon.
That show is, to steal a phrase from Brian, iconic Superman to me. Like
What's
it.
up there with the Batman animated?
Exactly, like both of those shows get to the core of what those heroes are about and represent. And I mean, if anyone ever thought that Superman was just boring because he's just like a goody two-shoes, then they should watch that series because the boy is complex, man. Like he's
Yeah.
got issues, dude. Like, you know, only someone that polished looking could have issues behind the scenes. Like that's how
He's
I
the
felt.
last
Like
son of Krypton. That's gonna dig up
seriously,
stuff.
seriously, yeah. That's some goth shit
Yeah.
that, like, right, Batman would be jealous of. At least, like, Batman isn't the last human on Earth, right?
Yeah.
Like, compared to that, like, Superman's like, oh, your parents are dead? Yeah, my parents are dead too, but my
And my whole
entire
civilization.
civilization. Right, much
And at first, we
respect.
just thought it was because of natural cause, like the
Natural
world, natural
disaster, yeah,
disasters.
fracking.
And then we find out it's fucking Brainiac, our computer, like,
That
or.
was cool. I don't know if that was ever original, like canon or something,
But
but
it
I
became that
love
way.
that about the
The
cartoon is
cartoon.
how
And I think that's
the
now
AI took over to play.
canon.
Cool.
I
Yeah.
think that's been the
Man,
trend.
if only Brainiac showed up instead of freaking Steppenwolf, like maybe that last Justice League would have had a little more
That would have
punch.
been cool. I actually like to think just more about comics. Like, that's what I thought Ultron, and maybe it was like lightly suggested, but I thought they were going to even say in Infinity War that Ultron, because like he was just like alien computer like system that then they like started working on, Tony and
Right.
I thought it was going to be that like Thanos designed him, and that was like wave two, like break apart
I
from the
mean, I'm sure
inside or
he'll be back
something.
in some form at some point.
He should.
He's
That
an
movie is.
AI out there in the ether, maybe somewhere. But maybe that's why they didn't do Brainiac. He's very similar to a degree where he has all these drones going out, looking like that
Yeah.
look like him and do his bidding from time to time. But
That's true.
nevertheless, you know, one thing that I can't ever complain about with this new Justice League movie is my man,
We
Aquabro.
love, we're so excited.
Ah,
I know
so
that's definitely
excited.
like one of the next times I'm gonna see you is
Yeah, we're gonna do a seafood
December like
episode.
23rd, 21st.
I can't believe that's gonna be coming out around Christmas time. I mean,
What a
instead of us
Christmas
going to see
treat.
Star Wars, our tradition of going to see Star Wars for Christmas, we'll go
Yeah.
see Aquaman and then do a seafood
My
episode.
man. Woo! Yeah, it's the ultimate bro. He's Brocidon, king of the
Dude,
Brocian.
Brocidon. Oh, that's perfect. I can't wait. Oh, it's gonna be so much fun.
We should make t-shirts.
We should.
But
I will go buy an
the
Aquaman shirt with Jason
Yeah.
Momoa on it. Definitely.
Jason Mimosa. That's what I would have.
Oh, even better.
That's
Ah,
my
man.
foodie film shirt for him. Jason Mimosa.
Oh, nothing but love. Nothing but love for that
That's what I need
Dothraki.
to start doing. For a while, I was posting on Instagram like movie scenes with like food, and then I need to take like actors and
Food
like make
name
like
them.
Benedict ex Benedict
Oh,
Cumberbatch.
oh, dude. Oh, it's. Oh
It
man, you
could be
have to.
never ending.
Oh,
I mean,
that's
it would
right.
end pretty
Shirley
quickly.
Temple. Wait a minute. That's already done?
Yeah.
No.
I can't think of anything right now.
Well.
Tom Hollandaise sauce.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I mean, look. You know, you just quantity over quality. That's the way, you know,
Oh,
you
yeah.
make a mark.
I'm going to
So.
break your spirits on all of your spirits with these horrible food pun name things. But anyway, and then the one other thing I was going to say about Tim Daly. Recently, I binge watched all of Cheers and all of Frasier. So I feel like I need to binge watch Wings next. It's in that universe. Frasier is
That's
an
right.
incredibly
It is.
Heavy. I might eventually like cover certain food, you know. Right now we're keeping it to feature films, and there will be some documentaries in there. And well, you know, there's even a TV special with Garfield.
Oh, have you
But
seen Jiro Dreams of Sushi? That's a good
yeah,
doc.
that's
Yeah.
gonna be a big one I cover. But I there's just some like shows like Master of None, and even I know Joey is a big proponent of oh God, what was it called? Was it called Hannibal?
Oh, the
Or what's
Hannibal
the
Lecter show, the
yeah
Silence of the, yeah, Hannibal,
it was
yeah.
just called
You and your cannibalism theme
No, but he's a
is
but Hannibal Lecter's a big foodie.
okay. All
so
right, all
that's why
right.
Joey
Is that why
said
he
I
branches out into people where he's just like, my palate is way too like,
yeah
it's too sophisticated. I have to move beyond food into people.
so it's not no it's not like an obsession of mine with like cannibalism or something. Joey said that's a very food-centric show. I'm like, oh,
Okay, that's cool. 'Cause
interesting.
yeah, he. I mean, even in the movies, he's always preparing everything
Yeah.
so like perfectly and everything.
Preparing
Yeah.
Ray Liotta's brain.
There's another cannibal movie though that I would watch. You know, I would suggest. I have it right here because kids are eating Raoul. It's a Paul Bartel movie. It's very strange. It's more of like a. It's kind of like a raunchy comedy, but it's about cannibals as well. But they're, you know, they're not like desert-dwelling mutant freaks or anything. They're actually just like socialites,
I'm
so
into
it's
it.
even
Let's that
weirder.
that'll be there's we'll just add it to the docket.
Okay.
But let's see.
Oh, the
Oh.
Goot. Can we just mention quickly how much growing up, like, I love Steve Guttenberg from the Police Academy
Oh
series,
yeah.
and I'm gonna be doing Police Academy 3 next year on my show. I haven't really done too many comedies yet.
Isn't that when like Bobcat is introduced?
He actually is introduced in part two,
Oh, it's a bad guy,
but
and then
as
he's
a
a good
bad guy,
yeah.
as Zed, and then he
Yeah.
becomes, because that's where they like go back in training, I think. And it's been a few years, but also, you know, Three Men and a Baby, and the boy. Have you ever seen The Boys from Brazil?
No.
It's I haven't seen it. It's about like the, you know, because you know, like after World War II, some of like the Nazi scientists, like
They went to
they
like
retreated,
Argentina.
right? Yeah, and so this is about a squad of like these like crazy like this squad of people, or like this network of people who've been tracking them, and it turns out that they've cloned Hitler, and there's like a
Oh.
bunch of Hitler clones that these people have to go track down and murder and stuff. And
Jeez.
like Gutenberg is in it, and he like finds out about he like cracks the conspiracy early on, and it's really crazy movie. It's really good.
I mean, Gutenberg, I love like Three Men and a Baby, Three Men and a Little Lady. Those are like, I
Yeah.
love the Tom Selleck, Ted
Ted Danson,
Danson.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Tom Selleck, not Cheers, but Magnum, at least.
Yeah, some big, yeah.
Higgins. Oh, Magnum.
Which they're remaking that show now.
I think it's out.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay, it's out.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, or at least basic,
Mm.
like the network shows. But it's just pretty impressive that like none of these guys were really known at the time.
Yeah, I think Kevin Bacon was in Animal
Animal House,
House.
that's yeah, that was his first movie.
Is Paul Reiser a stand-up? Yeah,
He was,
was he? Because he does
yeah.
stand-up at the end at the wedding. They're just probably like, riff on weddings.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me tell you about weddings, folks. And he just
Yeah,
goes
it's
on and
yeah.
on and on.
And this when did Aliens come out?
79, was it? 78?
No,
70. Oh,
Aliens.
Aliens. Oh, I'm sorry.
Aliens.
80 into 80. So 87, 86,
Okay. So
87?
yeah, it's like
Yeah.
5 years, 4 years, five
A little
years
bit
after
later.
this. Okay.
And
Because
and
I know that
then
was like a
My
big
Two Dads.
the mic, yeah. But it's just pretty, I mean, again, that all of those guys weren't like, no, this is a pretty
Yeah.
impressive
Because
cast.
Daniel Stern, I mean, talking about the holiday season, you can't talk about it without mentioning a movie that he's in called Home Alone
Yeah.
with Culkin and, you know,
Pesci.
Pesci, Culkin, and Stern, man. It's
Yeah.
like, wow.
And City Slickers.
Oh, right. City Slickers. I forgot all about Cities. The first one, at least. It's The Search for Curly's Gold got a little bit.
Yeah.
That was a search I don't think I could have finished.
I
I
do
got a little
love
lost
John
in the
Lovett,
desert.
so.
Yeah, you know, he has his moments.
Slan
And they
Lovett.
never made it to a third City Slickers.
No.
That's a franchise they should bring back. I could
That'd
still
be
see
pretty.
Billy Crystal. Maybe his grandson drags him along. Like, Billy Crystal's like, look, before I die, I'm
Yeah.
going to take it to the desert. And we're going to look for, we're finally going to find Curly's gold. Oh, man.
And also, I just want to say Ellen Barkin. I know you'll eventually
Yes.
cover. Well, you have
Covered Ocean's 13
covered Ocean's 13. You
for
will,
Cinemaker Soderbergh,
and you
yeah.
will cover it for
And I will
Flavor of the Charm.
recover it, yeah.
She only got. She got. She's like a fine wine. She got better with age. I mean, she's very. She's lovely in this
Yeah,
film, and
no,
she's great in
she
this
looks,
film.
but like they all look extremely young to me. Like they look like
This is
themselves.
before Mickey Rourke swallowed a bunch of gravel.
Oh, before he like jumped out of moving cars for a living and like
Yeah.
messed up his entire face. Like that, I mean,
I mean, he looks
he
similar.
is dashing in this movie though. Like he is a super pretty boy.
But
Like
his
he's like
voice,
Rumblefish good looking in
he
this movie.
talks, he's very mellow and talks like this. And then,
Yeah.
now, Mickey Rourke. Like, that's.
I hear you. Yeah, it's yeah, man. This is quite a cast.
So we said your hangout was
The
the
Suburban.
suburban diner. We said what you ate there. So I mean, just getting into let's play, let's play the first scene. There's like two kind of two scenes I want to play. The first will be I love the relationship between Paul Reiser and Steve Guttenberg and the whole the little the sandwich moment. So we'll play that.
Where's that roast beef?
Don't ask me this anymore, Muldown. Yes.
You gonna finish that?
Yeah, I'm gonna finish it. I paid for it. I'm not gonna give it to you. No.
If you're not gonna finish it, I would eat it. But if you're gonna eat it, you're.
What do you want? Say the words.
No, go ahead. You're gonna eat it. You eat it. That's all right.
Say the words. I want the roast beef sandwich. Say the words, and I'll give you a piece.
Would you guys cut this out? I mean, every time.
Well, if he
Anything.
doesn't talk, he just. He,
Well,
he
you know what
go.
he means, right?
Yeah, I know what he means, but he beats around the bush. He beats around the bush. If he'd say the words, I'd give him a piece.
If I wanted it, but wouldn't I ask you?
Then ask. You
Would
know
you just
you
let
want.
it go?
You know he wants
You're
it.
annoying as
I'm
hell.
annoying. I'm annoying. I'm trying to eat a meal by
If you
myself.
want to give him the sandwich, give him the sandwich. If you don't want to give him the sandwich, don't.
I don't
just
want to give
forget
him the.
it.
If
Well,
he
then just eat the sandwich
then
and shut
don't.
up.
Well, look at his eyes.
I ask one simple question. You get it. You know what your problem is? You don't chew your food. That's why you get so irritable. It lumps. You have like roast beef in your heart. It just stays there.
Oh, Modell, you're really, really getting me mad now. My blood is boiling.
See, I don't like it.
I'll take the sandwich.
No,
okay,
don't.
Fine, I'll take the sandwich.
See what you do every.
What are you blaming me? You took your sandwich. I'm sitting. I'm having a cup
you
of
want
coffee.
This?
That's it.
No, no, no,
you want
no,
this?
no. I don't
huh?
want it.
Fine, I do.
I can't believe you're eating this. You know, you two play against me. That's what the problem is. You're both on each other's side.
Gutenberg's got his roast beef sandwich, and he just. Did you ever have a friend like that? Like the one I love. Like I said, I love the relationship that he's like. You know, like oh, if it's no problem, like you know, like can you give me a ride back? You know, and then you know, if you don't finish it, you know.
So I feel like I had a friend who's a combination of Gutenberg and Paul Reiser in this movie. Like if you, or even maybe even.
So he's
Yeah.
very Jewish.
No, he wasn't even Jewish. Like, just kind of looked like him and was just very sort of, like pragmatic, like just this is the way it is. Like, let's do it like this, and that's the only way it can be done, kind of to a degree. But, I think it's hilarious, really. I mean, yeah, like, if you ever grab something off his plate, it would be like a big issue. Like, come on, like I
Yeah.
wasn't finished this and that on the whole other thing. But like, that's a whole.
It's almost
That's.
very Larry David, like pre-Larry David-esque.
But they're doing it because they know he's gonna get upset. Like, it's a
Yeah.
routine
It's a re
that
yeah.
they've been through 100 times, and he's like falls for it every time. I don't know if because he wants to or what, but like, yeah, it's great just to get a sense of their dynamic that they can. Just like kind of like rag on each other and make fun of each other and everything, but it's just for fun. Like, it's all part of their bonding.
Yeah, I think that week of like prep of them hanging out and then just filming all those other scenes just really paid off to show these guys and just that it was a very it's just a very believable group of friends. I mean,
Yeah.
this is a very like a phrase that's out of fashion now, and people are saying like, oh, you can't like, this is an acceptable. It's a very boys will be boys kind of movie.
Oh,
It's
yeah, there's some
there's a couple
there's
of.
some moments in here that are right problematic.
Yeah, well, and we're not gonna play it just yet, but the one other scene, and like obviously there's not like dialogue in the theater, but when they exit into the lobby, I didn't
Oh.
know that this is where like is this where like the popcorn trick like came into like our
I don't know. I
lexicon?
mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think that it came, it maybe it developed in the 50s when teenagers like, started going on lots of dates to movies.
Yeah, and drive-throughs.
Drive-ins and all that kind of that situation. But, I mean, that's something I had heard of growing up but never thought was a real thing. And
yeah.
then see it portrayed in this movie.
It's the
when I was like a teenager going like, that is that really? Like, how doesn't that even work?
I said we were going to play it later, but like this is just because I want to talk about it now. We just played you one clip. Here's the other one, and this is Mickey Rourke trying
rationalizing.
trying to explain this. Okay, here we go.
It's a real good reason, you know, but it's like, it's a little embarrassing to me. I mean, so maybe if you don't want to hear it, I'll understand.
Go on, I want to hear this.
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't like to tell this to girls, but, you know, you really are, you know, you really are a knockout. No, you really are, and, you know, sitting down next to you in there got me crazy. I got a hard on. You know, I mean, I don't like to admit it, but I did. I mean, you don't know me. I try to come off like I'm being cool all the time. You know, I don't like to look like I'm hustling, and there I was sitting next to you with a boner. You know, I don't... Am I embarrassing you?
Go on.
I don't know. It's just that the pain was killing me, you know? It was to stop the pain, it was digging into the side of my leg. So what I did was, you know, I opened my fly to loosen everything up, just to give it a little air. And, you know, it worked. Everything settled down, and then I got, you know, caught back up in the picture. And then, you know, that's when Sandra got her leg caught on the bush, and she lifted up her dress. You know, it just popped right up, and it went through the bottom of the popcorn box. And with the force of it, just opened up the flap.
It just pushed the flap open?
It's Ripley's, I'm telling you. It just pushed the flap right open, and I couldn't move the box. You know, you would have seen it.
That's true.
Come on. Let's go back inside. Okay?
Okay.
Come on. His whole thing is like, it was an accident. It was an accident.
Yeah, and just every time he's just saying like his heart on, it just made me so creeped out. And just like, you know, him explaining it to her. And then it doesn't help that they're making this girl very naive and just like foolish. And
well, and like the whole thing to begin with is that she's like a mark in a way, right? Because he's doing this as a bet. He's betting his, because he's a gambling
addict. Yeah, he's a gambler. Yeah. Mickey Rourke has
the sharks are circling his boat as we speak.
He has the most, like, there's always, like, in these buddy films, there's always the one that, like, is dealing with, like, problems with the law or, like, has his, like, demons. There is always the one, then there's the married guy, then there's the guy that's about to get married, then there's, you know, one that's in love with someone that doesn't love him back. But, like, so Mickey Rourke is, like, he's, you know, he's the River Phoenix, like, stand by me, even though, like...
But yeah, he is the, he's the troublemaker. He's, like, the bad boy. He's, right, yeah. But, and so that scene at the movie theater was a bet to see if he could get his date to touch his dick during the movie. And he does it by putting it through the popcorn box, and so that when she grabs it, she touches it and freaks out rightfully and, like, storms out and everything. And he claims that that counts. And they're like, that doesn't count because it wasn't consensual.
Yeah.
I'm on their side. Like, it was...
Oh, no, yeah, that's like...
Like, that. I hope no one's doing that nowadays.
Worse than, like, Louis C.K.
Well, like, no, that's exactly, like, what it is. I mean, that's that, you know, the idea that they're... It's a joke to them, but it's not a joke. It's traumatic to the victim.
Yeah.
So, like, you shouldn't joke about it. And, yeah, it's...
Yeah, so...
It was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, that's, I would say, like, the most, you know, like...
But it's of the time. That's what I think.
Well, that's all things, even in the 80s, which they, I mean, like 80s films, like, then you think about, like, fucking, like, Porky's and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
And, like, even Police Academy and, like...
Yes, they're guilty.
They are guilty, and then on top of that, they're making a movie about the 50s.
Right, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. I feel like this is commenting on sort of the kids at the time and how stupid they were. And now in the 80s, they see movies like this and are like, hey, let's put that in our movie. Yeah. Like, that'll be a funny joke. And then people see that and they just perpetrate the crime over and over again. And
yeah,
so
I'm trying
it's,
to, yeah.
It was weird. I'd forgotten, you know, because I'd only seen this once so long ago. And I'd forgotten a lot of parts of it. And that was definitely one I didn't remember how. I didn't remember the scene after it where he gets her to go back and sit down and everything.
Yeah.
I thought she stormed out and got out of there and was, like, free and clear.
Nope.
Nah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I mean, as, yeah. far, as far as, a, you know, this is a,
this acknowledge
is up
it.
There in, like, you know, like, memorable movies of the 80s and just, like, of this, like, I mean, it's kind of a, it's not, well, it's not coming of age, but it's just, what I mean, what do you want to call, like, movies like this, I feel, because this is like a genre of like the, you know, this even like falls into like the Big Chill territory.
Yeah, well, I think this is just, I think you could still consider this coming of age.
Yeah.
In a way, I mean, the Big Chill is more midlife crisis.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we're about to graduate college, and you know, our friends are getting married and moving on and starting lives and everything. Yeah, I wouldn't know exactly what to call it. You know, at one point, it's funny, at one point I was watching this and I was like, you know, this would play in black and white in French with American subtitles pretty well. Like, it's that, it's almost like a movie in that way where it's just about all these different people's lives during this one week leading up to the wedding. And
yeah.
There's a lot of movies now that are similar in structure, I feel, to this, that do this kind of thing where we're just going to follow like a close group of friends revolving around mm-hmm. like an event or an incident or something.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It is like, I mean, so what, this movie takes place over a week. It's that, again, that falls into that, like, I mean, they all still see one, except for Tim Daly being away, they all still see one another, but it's like it's the reuniting kind of, or like the
reunion.
Last of, you know, yeah, reunion type. I mean, it's the ensemble movie. It just has that, and on top of that, it is a nostalgia movie, and you know, written and directed by a guy that's clearly talking about a period, you know, of his life.
Yeah.
Was there any scenes or just things about this movie that you enjoyed?
So I think my favorite moment is when the guy eats the whole left side of the menu.
that's pretty awesome.
Like, that part's great. Like, I basically, I love all the stuff at the diner. I wish more of it took place in the diner.
Yeah, for
to
a
be
movie
honest
called Diner, I thought more was gonna, like,
yeah.
I thought you would think it would be more like a coffee and cigarettes kind of.
Yeah, and I feel like at times the movie feels like it needs to get dark just because that's the nature of storytelling. Like, I almost feel like this movie, like when Daniel Stern yells at his wife for touching his records, like that
yeah.
kind of felt out of character, and it to me came to a moment where I was like, well, the movie wants to have you know, an all is lost moment or a dark moment for everybody. So also the same when Gutenberg's fiance fails the test by like 2 points.
Yeah, well,
like that wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
then they end up did.
But then
like,
in the end, he ends up
marrying
her. So it almost feels like the movie is fighting, or the Barry Levinson maybe is sort of like fighting, I feel like it's fighting the nature. The movie feels like it wants to be more lighthearted than it is. Like, even some of the Mickey Rourke stuff with the gambling things, like he
or
owes
even the
two
fact,
grand.
Yeah,
it's like 2 grand is like, wait, they're gonna kill him? I'm like, that seems like a lot for this movie. Like, I can understand they're gonna break his leg, they're gonna, you know,
also in the
rob 50s,
that's
his
like
house.
A lot of money for a young guy. That's a lot of money for me now.
It's a lot of money
young
now.
Guy in the 50s.
Yeah, but in 59, like, it's a fortune.
Yeah.
So there were just moments like that.
It felt like a little forced, maybe.
Yeah, where in
or
other movies
or
underdeveloped, where in other movies, you know, I think of something like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know, which has, you know, some various serious, it tackles some various serious issues. I mean, there's a storyline in there with abortion,
yeah.
you know, and I feel like that is, and that's in like, you know, pretty much a high school comedy movie, but I feel like it's, for some reason, it's handled better and balanced more well with the rest of the material than when they go dark in this. Maybe they go too dark too much, and I just wish it was more lighthearted in their personal lives. So maybe that's why I like the diner stuff so much, is because that's when they're like so animated and together and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they're just riffing and, like, just enjoying one another's company versus...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, that's the whole thing.
Nowadays, like, you would get an hour or two-hour movie of people talking in a diner.
Yeah.
It'd be called, like, Din or something. I don't know, but, you know, because there's stuff like My Dinner with Andre, you know, and that's just, like, an hour, 45 minutes of just, you know, a guy having dinner with his friend.
Yeah.
And it's totally watchable. So...
That's the whole thing. These characters, I mean, these actors are talented enough. The characters are interesting enough that I think, like, they didn't need those trying to go for, like, the deeper moments. I mean, it's funny that, like, Gutenberg is testing his...
Didn't think that was... I was like, what is this guy's... like, who would agree? Like, what woman would agree to that? Like, I won't get engaged unless I pass a test about your favorite football team? That seems... I would never ask someone to, like, pass a test on... You know, Nicolas Cage.
No, I would never. I would never ask. But I still thought that was like a, I don't know, like a little bit of like a funny character thing that he's doing. I mean, it should have been more like spontaneous. Maybe it's also weird that we never meet his fiance. So it just totally
we hear her through a door.
Yeah, we totally we're removed from like her emotion of it all.
Yeah.
And then again, like, also, it's just like, oh, you know, like, he says the wedding's off, and then, like, one of the next times, like, we see him, he's walking, like, there's a procession of the wedding.
They're at the wedding.
And I'm like, what happened here?
You know what else would have been cool, too, because there's a lot of great coverage of the diner when we're in it, if we got to know a waitress or two, or, you know, the guy who ran the diner.
Yeah, there's briefly, like, I guess it was a Greek diner, because they're talking to...
Most seem to be.
Yeah.
Generally, at least around here in New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know what and that's the other thing I remember reading in the trivia. Supposedly, that guy, Bagel, has a very traditional Baltimore accent. Like, Baltimore has an, like, this is a Baltimore accent.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Jimmy McManus's Baltimore accent. You never hear him cleaning up the block and everything. And I feel like there is. Yeah, those guys on The Wire definitely. Yeah, talking to...
That makes sense.
I think so.
But, and just as far as, you know, like, played you the roast beef sandwich scene, I did like seeing, I didn't know if it was just, like, a New Jersey thing, but, like, down there, they like the fries with gravy.
Oh, yeah, so...
That was...
I heard gravy fries a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
But have you ever had it with the mozzarella cheese on it?
Oh, of course. I call those disco fries.
Yeah. So that was cool.
How do you like your disco fries? Do you like, what kind of fries do you like with your disco fries?
Wait, what do you mean? French fries?
I mean, yeah, but sometimes there's waffle fries.
No, I just it's enough.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to have the waffle fries, that's what I'm going to have. If I want the disco fries, we'll do it over plain fries.
But I'm going to, but there's a second, there's even
a wait, the second, what goes on first?
No.
No.
What kind of fry do you prefer? Regular fry. Like, so a plain, you know.
I like the steak
fries. Ones like a state line?
Yeah. I like those. I think the bigger the fry, the better. You know, when you're younger, you're like, oh, give me the curly fry.
Uh-huh.
Now it's just, it's enough.
You want something of substance?
Yeah.
You want a man fry?
I want a normal French fry. Yeah, give me, make it the entire, just give me the whole potato.
Yeah, just like cut a big square.
Exactly, yeah. World's largest fry.
this movie definitely makes me think of just back to diner days. I think I said it on even our Soylent Green episode, but my diner was the Northvale Diner, and there was this point, like during college, like when I would be back, like over the summer, and then, you know, like back home, like holiday breaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Me and two friends, we would go there every Friday night. Like, that would be like where we ended our night, and we would always get Taylor ham, egg and cheeses, and a side of fries, maybe cheese fries.
Disco fries.
I love cheddar cheese and bacon on, or disco fries. And it was also at a time, I don't know if you ever did this in your adolescence, but there was this one summer, I think it was the summer after freshman year of college, that we just relentlessly sack tapped one another.
Oh, no.
No, never
that.
Got.
I luckily, you, okay, well, no, I never did that kind of, but I remember one moment vividly when we were coming out of, we were 21 at this point, so it was like way too old to be sack tapping. Uh-huh. But for some reason, we were coming out of a bar and one of my friends just straight up punched my other friend right in the nards, and we're all like, what are you doing? And he's like, what? Thought it would be funny. And everyone was like, no.
We used to do that's it. That's not like, funny. It happened like 20 times in a day.
I don't get it, Kyle. I don't get that.
I don't think about it, and I don't get it either, but it was just like, funny to see someone going through that much pain.
Yeah.
But
having caused that pain as well, you know, doesn't it cheapen the laugh a little bit? Wouldn't you rather just sit back and watch it on Jackass or something?
Yeah. Well, no, that's the problem. We definitely grew up like my
as Jackasses.
My prime teen years were very Jackass and like,
see,
Tom Green.
What's funny is like we were very much like Jackass before the show even came out.
Yeah.
So when the show showed up, it was like, oh, we should have just been filming that whole time. You know, like every weekend when we stole a shopping cart and like drove it down a cliff or something.
But I just remember this one time at the diner, we didn't have like our booth or whatever. Like they would just, you know, seat us where they would seat us. But we did tend to go, there was like cut, you know, like at most diners, there's like almost two sides to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'd always, you know, like we tended to be on like one side of it. But, I feel like they always like kind of put young people to one side and families to another.
Probably,
side.
Yeah. There's two sides for a reason.
Yeah. But there was this. We always had like late night. There was always this one waiter, Daniel. He was like a younger guy too, probably like around our age, maybe a little older. And one time, I got up to go pay at the counter, and my friend sack tapped me, and I just fall to my knees as Daniel's like coming to clear up the table.
No.
And there's like one other like waitress there too, and then everyone just starts laughing.
Oh.
And I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like it was just
diners. You know what I miss about diners? The mini jukebox that used to be at every table.
Yeah, you really rarely find those anymore.
Yeah. I remember that more as like a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
When my like grandma would take me to the Forum Diner, which I don't think exists anymore. It used to be down on Route 4. And then there was another one in, I guess it was Westwood, we used to go to with her a lot.
Oh, the
well.
Seville?
The Seville.
Yeah.
That was like her diner.
The Seville Park Ridge Diner was a big one that I used to go.
Okay.
That's where they worship James Gandolfini, the town of James Gandolfini.
Uh-huh.
Tenafly Diner.
Camilla, I was about a diner. Shot at a diner too, Tony Soprano. Weren't they at a diner? Wasn't
at
it?
At the end of the show?
Yeah.
Isn't that shot though?
I know, I'm kidding. You could cut that if you want. Or
no.
Leave it in to confuse your listeners.
Yeah.
But
just like the series Soprano.
Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Shot? Or not? We're still debating.
Since we are like diner buddies, we should do like maybe just an episode that we go like.
I think we should just bring the recorder to the diner and record what we say and just release that as a podcast.
All right.
And just be like Kyle and Mike dining in or
those
whatever.
Those would be fun episodes. Like not like when we tend to talk movies.
Yeah.
So that would be, it's the foodie.
Sometimes
and the film.
Sometimes we reveal salacious personal details about one another.
Oh.
So you may get lucky and hear that. A lot of chewing. So if you're a fan of What Am I Chewing over on Wistful Thinking, you might enjoy our podcast.
I listened to the first episode and like... Do
you love it?
Well, I love the idea, but I hate hearing people chewing. I love the concept of the show.
The game
and I love like
part.
then the banter that they have, but I hate hearing people chewing. It's just like, it's one of those.
Yeah, for a lot of people it is one of those
yeah.
nails on the chalkboard type of
I mean, it's very,
sounds,
yeah.
But not for me. I'm like, I'm with Kara. Like, it makes me cry. Like, I hear the first chew and I'm just dying of laughter. I'm laughing, I'm starting to laugh now just thinking about it. But that show's crazy.
Jed, but do check it out, though.
Give it a shot. You never know until you try, right?
Yeah.
You know, kind of like food. You never know.
Yeah,
you should try everything once.
Yeah.
You know, just about everything once.
Well,
you're not going to eat you know, humans. Soylent Green, they never changed the recipe, people. Don't believe the hype.
Anything else that you want to say about Diner?
I'm just looking so they go to the pool hall in this, and that was another big hangout for us too. So we would go from the diner to the pool hall a lot.
Where was the pool hall?
Where was the pool? Midland Park, I think. Okay. It's still there. It's still, but it's run by like a real pool shark. Like this guy, even back then, was like, "Are you sure your boys like are serious?" And we're like, "Yes, sir. Like we want a pool. We swear, like we will behave and like all this." And then we started going there a lot, and he kind of, you know, got to know us a little bit. And two of my friends even like bought professional pool cues and like took a couple lessons and like got pretty, you know, spiffy at it.
And they lost all their money.
No, never gambled. And then the other thing was that Gutenberg's going to Cuba for his honeymoon.
A couple of moments in this movie that I'm just like, they put that in as just like, remember, this is this time period.
Yeah, that's sort of like nostalgia porn nowadays. We're just going to like mention Atari or whatever. But what I thought was funny is my stepdad has been to Cuba like a lot back in the day, back then and stuff. Yeah. And like he's always telling me like about like his trip to
Cuba. Well,
now
we can go again. So.
Now he can. And I think I think he's planning a trip. He might be planning a trip.
That'd be pretty interesting. Be like, you know, to,
I don't know.
He goes there, he's like, yep, nothing's changed.
I think that's all I had.
Yeah, I mean, this is a movie I recommend for people to show. I really haven't, like, had a movie yet that I'm like, don't watch this movie. I mean, I rarely would say to someone, like, don't watch...
I think I have over on my show. I think there's one or two, but maybe. It's funny, like, not the ones you might think, but, yeah, I think you could maybe skip Jurassic Park 3, for instance, you know? I think you could even just stop at Jurassic Park 1. I think you could just watch the first one and Jurassic World and then call it a day and be like, you know,
that's good. First one and Lost World and then none of the other ones. Wow. Oh, I want to tell you.
I like the Chris Pratt one, but
I don't like
not it. the new one. But
no, that was okay. And we're gonna watch Diner. I am gonna say right now because I know there's one movie
not
that
Diner
you really.
Sore. Ooh, that would be cool. Ooh, Dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. Why do you do that movie?
I don't know.
65 million years ago, Steve Gutenberg.
But. I know you were. There was a movie I watched recently that you were not a fan of, and that was Ready Player One.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it.
Oh, okay.
But
all
you,
right.
You were not. You said.
Yeah. No. Like me, Joey, and Nick Jenkins from Real Bad. Mm-hmm. We're sort of trying to crack this over on the RKSS Collective episode. We did a show about Turbo Kid, mm-hmm. and Summer of '84. And I just really, Summer of '84 just like bothered me and Nick to a degree. And we were like, is it because we were kids during the 80s and experienced all this? And now it's sort of being thrown back in our face in a certain way that just doesn't feel respectful or whatever. We're not sure. We can't even quite put our finger on it. But Joey loves this shit. Like he loved it. And I can understand that, you know, when you're not of the era, like it. You know, there's a whole different perspective on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, even me, like, I played with all those toys, and maybe that's what it feels like, someone's playing with all my toys or
something. Well, the whole thing, like, I mean, Ready Player One is just a very, it's a movie for nerds. It's a movie for, like...
But is it, I feel like it's, to me, it feels like posers.
This is Diner Talk, by the way.
This is what Diner Talk would be like. Yeah. Like, Chris Mattiello, or Chris Podcast, Dr. Podcasts, over on Now and Again, has a great take on that, where he's like, this is Spielberg's Starship Troopers. Like, this is his Verhoeven moment, where he's completely doing a send-up satire of the 80s, and it's, like, trolling the people who actually like the movie, you know? Or, like, the people who are into this stuff, and he's saying, no, like, get over it, like, look how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
It's a parody. I like that reading. He's a very smart guy. That makes me enjoy the movie more. Look, it's a visual feast. It's too much for me where I stand right now as a film goer. But I don't deny anybody their pleasure in watching it. I totally understand if you like it.
So I brought that up because then with seeing, I saw Fallen Kingdom, and that to me felt like the raping of my childhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that does a lot of
that was just like
fan service too. Like, it's all sort of like
the Jurassic World is just like the only things I like about that is the moments that just like totally like take advantage of nostalgia. I really like.
See, the reason I like Jurassic World is because we finally get to see the park open. It's almost like a reboot. Mm-hmm. It's almost but the park is open and functioning, and then shit goes wrong. Whereas opposed to the first time, like, there's really it's not open yet, and so I just like to watch those two movies and see. Oh, I get the same movie when the park's open and the movie when the park's closed. And that's enough. I don't need them getting off the island. I don't need, I don't need to go power gliding with pterodactyls or whatever happens in part three.
Just
actually talking raptors. I think that's where they're going.
Alan! It's my talking raptor impression.
Give us the egg, Alan.
Yeah.
So the raptor sounds like, you'd think it would hiss a lot, but it doesn't. It actually coughs quite a bit. It sounds more like General Grievous than anything. Alan Grant, this is your raptor speaking.
Oh, God. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, Steven Spielberg didn't do part three.
Part three was sort of, Kathleen Kennedy was the producer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So she's involved in all of them, I believe.
Because she's married to Frank Marshall, who does the other ones.
And so part three was pretty much, these are the leftovers that we never used for parts one and two. Like, can we cobble a movie together? Like, let's call it a hack. I know Joe Johnston. It's like, sold.
But then he ended up making one of your favorite Marvel movies, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't consider him a hack, but, like, technically, like, he is just sort of a gun-for-hire type of director, but he pulls off a lot of good stuff, like Rocketeer is a really great movie, I think, and that's a cool superhero movie. He was second unit director on Raiders of the Lost Ark. He worked for George Lucas.
He worked on all Star Wars and all those.
Yeah, he was sequence coordinator on the Star Wars trilogy.
He was one of those guys who was like right place, right time, kind of.
Yeah, and he's almost like a jack of all trades type of filmmaker as well. Like, he can direct, he can
he's someone that you're
design.
Like, we know we'll get the job done.
Exactly, yeah. And if you look at that Captain America movie, like, that is, I really like the way that's all the design look and the effects retro, on it and everything. It's really cool.
Well, let's move on to a famous food scene segment. So, Mike, I'll go ahead and have you pick one of these out.
I'm trying to think, what's kind of like theme song can we sing while we pick about food?
Famous food scene. I was like reading Rainbow, but famous food scene.
Oh, that was. Is there a song I should sing? Oh, Chinese food is really good. Chinese food is really good.
Maybe we should.
Here we go. Uncle Buck Pancake. Hey, we mentioned Macaulay Culkin earlier in the show.
There we go.
He's in the scene. Man. R.I.P. John Candy. And John Candy's last name is Candy.
And John Candy's also in Home Alone.
And he's in Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. There's going to be, I know there's definitely going to be, there's also a great food scene in The Great Outdoors. It's like it's a big steak scene. It's actually all really big food. So this is a big pancake scene, and we're going to go into a little bit of the birthday party afterwards, because it's Macaulay Culkin's birthday, I think, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and play you that scene.
There you go.
Shen, I got you now.
Happy birthday! Woo! I hope you're hungry. You should see that toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
I saw this movie in theaters for a birthday party.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That was definitely my favorite part. That when he punched out the clown.
Yeah.
But when Mac Attack comes down and it's his birthday and John can't... Well, that was one of those nicknames.
Awesome.
Comes down and John Candy's flipping the look on Macaulay Culkin's face.
Yeah.
It's better than the look in Home Alone with the aftershave. For me, it's a better surprise. Home Alone,
well, it's like
Kids
in Wonderment. It's almost like a Christmas morning look.
Yes. Home Alone, by the way, like some great food scenes in there. The one
pizza,
where the pizza scene, and then when he's eating the sundae. I guess that's more of just a shot, but I love that look on his face, and I love John Candy, and that's just a regular sized pancake to John Candy. Like, it's only because Macaulay Culkin's like,
well, I love just like he has like a flattened snow shovel, and that's right. what he's using to flip it. And then like we're seeing him cook like one, and you're like, oh, it's one big pancake. And then like Macaulay Culkin and his like sister come down, and it's like a stack.
It's a stack.
A stack.
That's right. He's got the there's the other little girl in the scene, and she's got like the same kind of look on her face, like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. Like, this is the most amazing food ever.
I'm actually very happy this is the scene you picked, because I want to talk with you. I think I am a new uncle.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. My niece is now 3 months old.
Oh, right.
And
he's a magic number, Kyle. Remember that.
It is. Third time's a charm. Yeah.
Listen to Third Time's a Charm every third of the month on Cage Club Podcast Network.
There's no such thing as a shameless, you know.
Well, the whole thing is a shameless, you know.
So you are an uncle.
Yeah, several times over.
Are you, what, I mean, and you've seen Uncle Buck, like, what do you take?
That's right,
What are you, can we talk a little bit? Can you give me any, like, give me advice as, you know, like, I mean, I don't really have to do much as an uncle right now, but, like, what I mean, you know, kids, and then just even, I mean, if you want to talk any, like, food experiences you've had with, your nieces and nephews, but.
So, I'll start with, you got to have a lot of patience with kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, just try and help your sister as much as you can. Just be supportive, you know, as much as possible. Like, that's all I tried to do, like. Even when I got angry and mad, like, you can't just storm out and go home and leave her there with the baby if you promise to help. Like, you have to keep it under control. As far as food and stuff goes, like, you have to ask your sister what you could feed. I never introduced new foods to my nieces and nephew without first asking my brother or sister about that. But, you know, when they get older, like, I'd say by the time they're 5 or 6 and you're taking them to a movie or you're taking them to the arcade or something, then you could just be that. That's when you're really going to be feeling like an uncle, like the fun uncle, like Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
That's when you turn into Uncle Buck. When
the kids become like 6. Into Uncle Buck.
Like, cause me and my 8-year-old nephew right now and my 6 soon to be 7-year-old niece, like, we have so much fun going out together. And I remember when my other brother's kids were that age, we had, that's when I started taking them to all the animated films and movies and stuff like that. And then when my other brother's kid was that age, like, that's when I was, you know, babysitting her and everything. So, like, it's almost like, it's a lot of, like, just, like, kind of duty. Like, you're just going to be, like, a dutiful uncle, like, helping your sister just go run errands for her, do whatever she needs, you know? And then when the kids get older, then you can be fun uncle and start, like, taking them out and, like, playing more with them.
Have you introduced them to, like, anything that you're just like, is there like a little moment that you're like, I kind of want a mini me right now? Like, well, have you, like,
that's what's been really interesting. Like, I've tried to, like, introduce my nephew to, like, superheroes and comic books, and he, like, never wanted anything to do with that. And he was always into sports and baseball, and, you know, they definitely picked that up from my brother-in-law. Like, that's not me. You know? So, like, even when I feel like I try to, quote-unquote, impose something I like onto him, be like, try this, try that, try that. Like, he knows enough for himself whether he likes it or not. Yeah. Like, there's really nothing I could say about something that's going to change his mind. And there never really was. Like, I feel like he always knew what he liked, which was good. And my niece is a little different. Like, I'll tell you what rubbed off on them is not so much like, oh, like, do you like Star Wars or whatever like that? But, like, the idea that, like, I draw a lot. So, like, they draw a lot. And they're always drawing and they're doing lots of art stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess for him, video games, you know, like, he plays a lot of sports games, but he's still on the PlayStation, and I'm on there with him playing games and things. So it's kind of interesting, like, that, how a lot of those influences of me, like, they really didn't rub off on them. None of my nieces and nephew, really. They all, like, are more sport oriented. It's like quite the opposite. It's like, if you don't want them to turn out like Uncle Michael, have Uncle Michael come out and watch them for a couple years.
Are you Uncle Michael? Or are you Uncle Mike? Uncle Mikey?
It's Uncle Michael.
Uncle Michael. I have an Uncle Michael.
I guess
Michael.
It just rolls better.
Uncle Michael.
And so it's like, Uncle Michael. And I'm like, what? Yes, nephew. Yes, my niece. Yes, nephew.
When I was like little, I called my Uncle Michael Uncle Munkle.
Yeah, I could see that. I could understand how that could get a little mixed up for a little kid.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to just being, like, even when she's, I mean, just even 2 and 3 and, you know, like, just,
yeah,
and,
still like, fun
the,
to
you get
do.
To, like, have, like, you know, like, a bit, like, not, like, a conversation, but you know what I'm saying.
Just, it's funny, we just, like, watched Look Who's Talking,
yeah,
right, and the kid in that just, it's over the course of his first year of his life, but if you watch it, like, Travolta's babysitting him, he's having a blast, he's having one-sided conversations with the kid, like, I'm sure you're gonna, you know, watch the kid, take it for a walk for your sister, have to kill time for her, without her and stuff, and yeah, you're gonna be being like, oh man, kid, like, you're not gonna believe the day I had, and it's just gonna be sitting there looking at you.
I'll be doing Pacino,
like, not understanding a word, but yeah. And,
this is my niece.
You know, there's ways to play with them before, you know, and then they'll start talking and walking and all kinds of fun stuff.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's and then you know what the best part is? You get to go home and leave them with your sister or your brother and forget about it for a couple hours and you're good.
Do you think, are your like nieces and nephews, like, how are they with, like, food? Do they, I wonder, kids, you know, in today's, I see so many, you know, like, we live in a world now that, like, everyone has, like, a freaking allergy or something.
Oh, yeah, so they don't have any allergies or anything, and you'd be surprised, they're not really into junk food so much. You know, like, I've got 2 nephews and 3 nieces, mm-hmm. and I'd say, you know, 1, 2, 3, like, 3 or 4 of them, like, just drink water all the time.
Oh.
You know, no soda or anything like that. Not a whole lot of junk food. The younger ones, it's, you know, it's always a bit more of a struggle.
They must have gone trick-or-treating, though.
Yeah, and lately it's been Halloween, so the candy's been around. But I'm amazed. Like, my niece and nephews that are going to be graduating high school, I have ones that are they're 17. They're just, like, squeaky clean, sort of no junk food ever, just athletic, just, yeah, that whole thing. You know, go out to the movies. You want a soda? Nah. You want some popcorn? No. It's like, okay. I mean, if you're happy, I'm not going to force you to eat junk food.
I guess that's good. I mean, maybe they'll be going to college and maybe they'll start drinking soda, be crazy and drink soda.
Yeah, it's like, you want a beer? Beer? Like, beer. I just want a Pepsi.
Yeah, root beer.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's funny. It's like when we go to the draft house, like, I always have the root beer.
Yeah. Well, like I said in the beginning, you know, we don't have gut instincts for you know, repeat guests, but I do have a new question that I've asked. I guess just one guest so far, Zach Bressler. I came up with this idea for this question, so I'll ask this one first. Do you have a favorite movie snack?
I used to eat a lot of Raisinettes at the movies.
That also reminds me. I stop home. I stopped at my parents last week, and it was after the Halloween, the Garfield episode came out.
Okay.
And I was talking about candy on that one, my favorite. And I walk in, I'm like, hey, Mom. She's like, Raisinettes. I'm like, what? And she's like, you loved Raisinettes. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, that was, like, I don't know how.
So she was listening to the podcast screaming.
Yeah.
At the computer,
yeah, exactly.
Like a ghost.
Yeah.
Just like, Raisinettes.
Raisinettes. Because I don't eat, like, a lot of candy anymore. And also, Raisinettes aren't, like, the one that you, like, just even when passing, like, a, you know, a counter at a bodega.
They don't want to just eat raisins, even though it's nature's candy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the raisins, like, but dude, they're chocolate covered, man.
Oh, I love Raisinettes.
Yeah.
I kind of want to stop somewhere and get some Raisinettes now.
I've been, like, kind of cooling it on the popcorn at the theaters recently. Like, when I go
so
alone.
Too.
So, this is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, last weekend, Joey came up and we recorded a couple episodes of Cage Club Revisited, and then we went to the mall and we watched a double feature. We went and saw 2 movies.
Wow.
And, like, I didn't have anything. Neither of us did, to be honest. But like, you know, I just sit through. I don't need anything. I feel like at the movies anymore. Maybe just a bottle of water.
There's certain movies, and it tends to be like blockbusters. I'm like, I would love to have like. I want that like ultimate blockbuster experience of like sitting back and just like and not having a popcorn
okay.
pulled on.
So this is kind of a funny story. I think it's a funny story. It's like maybe it's a little pathetic, but so this is a couple of years ago when we had just seen the Rocky marathon at the Draft House.
Remember
when we sat through 7 Rocky movies in one night and like I was being carried out on
my
journey.
Dreams, Mike. It haunts my dreams.
But on the way out, we locked eyes and I just put my arm up in the air like. We did it, man. But I'm out of here. So
it was. I mean, how many hours was that? 13?
Something like yeah. So 7 Rocky movies, 2 hours each,
like,
just about.
No, it was even more than that.
It was like 14 and 15 hours
yeah.
or something. We were there all. We were there from like 10 in the morning to 1 in the morning.
Yeah,
it was nuts. So at that time, Joey and I were in the middle of or just finishing recording our run of. All those movies, the Shia LaBeouf podcast.
Uh-huh.
And there was one more movie that was coming out called Man Down. And it was playing down at the Palisades Theater. Is it the Palisades? The one in Fort Lee.
Okay.
And so I was like, you know, it was the day after the Rocky Marathon.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to see this movie because we got to record it the next day so that we could release it the day after that.
Yeah.
So that we could have seen all of his movies. So... I fucking drive down there myself the next night at like 7 at night, and I was like, you know what? I'm not really doing too well right now. I buy a large soda and a large popcorn for comfort, and I just sat there with them, like gripped one in each hand.
Yeah.
I didn't even eat any of it. I just held it tight against me as I watched Shia LaBeouf's like PTS army movie. It was crazy. Like, I was getting PTS from the Rocky Marathon. But I feel like that was, you know, that's an appropriate story to tell here on this show. So,
yeah.
Like, it was this literal definition of comfort food. Like, I needed like, a teddy bear or something after that. So
no, that's a good point. Like, there's...
It was just like, I can't believe I'm sitting in a movie theater again.
It's a different type
I was
of
just
comfort
in
food.
This, like, I was just sitting in one
At the
for,
same
like,
time, that movie must have, like,
hours.
Almost, like, flown by, I feel, like,
kinda.
After you sit through.
A little bit, especially since it was... It's very weird. It's a very... It's not great, but it's got some... It's got a cool twist.
Well, and then this is the like official. This is the beginning. I'm sure I'll come up with more. It's not going to be the same like gut instinct part two kind of questions for repeat episodes because then I'll have you on obviously for you know a third time and then like so
Thank
it's not
you.
Like I'm starting at a fourth time and a fifth time and all that. But
all cannibal movies, folks.
But I think this will be. I'll keep this to like a last question for you know. Second time guess.
Okay.
And this is, who's your dream dinner guest and why?
Nick Cage. I mean, why? Do I even need to go into why? Like
that is out of everyone in history.
All of history. Like you know, since
yes,
creation.
There's no
time.
I
mean, Jesus would be great. Like that would be incredible. Like, think about that. I mean, I'm not going
to
say...
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to talk with them.
What?
There is
oh,
a
I
communication
could,
barrier.
But I'm sure, believe me...
there's no time and space rules, but...
If there's any... no babble fish in my ear. I'm sure, though, I would get the gist of it, right?
Yeah.
No. That's a crazy... I mean, Nick Cage is definitely, like, tops.
Yeah.
Like, right now... You know, not, I mean, yeah, because of the shows and everything like that, but, like, I just, it's so fascinating.
Where would you want to go with him?
I would want to go to, like, Universal Studios or something. And, like, have, you know, go out and have fun
have
for
fun
a while.
And have food there, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering back when the Powerball got to, like, $1 billion,
yeah.
I was talking to Joey, I was like, do you think if we win, we could just, like, rent Nick Cage for
100%.
A day or something?
Like, well,
not
even,
rent him,
well,
but, like,
it's not
invite
even,
him
like, yeah, exactly.
To
it's not
house.
Like a level of renting. It's literally you just be like, we're having an event. We'll pay you this money.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and the event is we're watching movies
yeah.
on a couch for
yeah.
a day and then having a barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, and I'm sure there's someone, like, okay, you know, I would at one point have loved to hung out with George Lucas. That would have been great.
Michael.
At some point.
Michael.
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite?
Brown yeah. or green?
Did you get the subtle? Yeah, brown. Had to go back. I like nature tone.
Are you a Sith or a Jedi?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, can I get like a life-size Ewok to bring home or something? No, I'm going to, you know what, since I answered so quickly, like it was so short, I'm going to stick with Cage for now because gut instincts, yeah, you know, since I can't understand what Jesus is going to be talking about. Not, and I may not know entirely what Nick Cage is trying to say either from time to time, but...
Michael... I can't, that's my Nicholas.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever tried to do a Nick Cage impression and be like,
wow,
oh.
Michael.
Like, you know.
You have to find a map.
His Uncle Francis would be interesting to have lunch with.
Yeah.
But then I have a feeling you'd be like, all right, Francis, it's time to go.
And he would bring only his wine.
And he'd be like, Michael, you got to try this wine. Try this wine.
Yeah,
try
we
this
get
wine,
it. You have wine. A vineyard.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Cage. You know, I know you said I can't go anyone in history. That's too tall.
That's too tall.
If you were like
that's just a diner menu,
just a dead person. I'll think of next time. I'll try and think of you know who would be next in line.
Yeah, it's a question.
It's
I'm
like,
more
sorry, Pope.
Yeah,
sorry, Gandhi. You know, yeah. Nick Cage. For I can't help it.
I'm glad you were the first person that I got to ask that question, and that was a very appropriate answer given the network and all that. And,
yeah.
So this is the time, you know, we kind of talked about shows, but plug away any exciting episodes or any...
Yeah, so where are we right now? So the next episode of Third Time's a Charm is going to... There's going to be another bonus episode in November this month.
Doing like a Thanksgiving episode?
Well, I couldn't really find any... Not only is it hard to find like a Thanksgiving movie, it's nigh impossible to find a part three that took place during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So this month isn't as thematically linked as October and December are. So it just released on November 3rd, Poison Ivy, The New Seduction, which was a movie that I wasn't going to get to for a long time, but I abolished seasons on my show, so it's season one forever now. And this was going to be on like season 8 or 9 in my direct-to-VHS season, but now I'm just trying to move a couple of those movies up to the front of the line and mix it up a little more, and you know I want to save some of the bigger movies for later next year. So that came out, and then next week, on the 17th, I think, I'm finally putting out the Resident Evil Extinction episode with Joey and Kara, which was supposed to come out in September, but I rearranged my entire podcast format, you know, with getting rid of seasons and all that. I mean, it just became way too constrictive. So, unfortunately, this episode got put on the shelf for a couple months, but it's given me some time to really work on it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good episode. There's a crazy book club on that episode, so that's the bonus episode for November. And then December 3rd, your former co-host, Brian Rodriguez, High School Slumber Party, will be on the Christmas Vacation episode of Third Time's a Charm. Now,
I feel like there's a couple of good foods. Excuse me. I feel like there's a couple of good food scenes in that movie.
Oh, yeah, the turkey one comes to mind.
Yeah.
And then, now, I also mentioned... I'm sorry this is going on, but...
No.
I also mentioned that Joey, Kara, and myself are doing the Amy Heckerling films for Cinemakers right now, and those are outright... those are going to be out in about a week or so. The first one will be out, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but on December 3rd, as it turns out, the European Vacation episode... is going to come out. So on December 3rd, you can listen to Amy Heckerling's Cinemakers, National Lampoon's European Vacation, and then go to Third Time's a Charm and listen to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So
boy,
that's what's happening so far. And there may be a bonus episode in December as well.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes peeled.
And probably by the next time I have you on, we will have seen... the greatest movie of all time.
My man. I'm so pumped.
Redheads, am I right?
Want to ride a shark? I mean, who wouldn't?
I totally forgot.
I don't know any lines or anything.
I totally forgot Dolph Lundgren's in this movie. I'm so
You know
excited.
Who else is in this movie? I wonder.
Dafoe?
Dolphin Lundgren? Oh, dude. That would be crazy. Yeah, Willem Dafoe is in it. Yeah, but I don't know. I've seen the trailer, and I still don't know, like, really, my eyes can't believe what there's, like, what's going on, that this is actually happening. Like, I feel like I'm 6 years old again when it comes to Aquaman. I can't explain it.
Is it going to be covered on Too Fast and Forever?
Why? Oh, because of the director?
Yeah.
Eventually, I think they're going to do a lap of all of his movies, so some point down the line, probably. It's definitely, you know, up
for
it.
We should try to be on there.
On it for that episode? Like, oh, man, like, this is... Can we just watch Aquaman once a month and do a podcast about it after it gets released on Blu-ray?
Yes. Yes. My answer is...
Oh, you know what? Maybe I would... If next time you ask me that question about who I'd have dinner with, it might have to be...
Jason Momoa.
No. Oh. Aquaman. Like, you have to act like Aquaman in the movie. Like, I want method acting from you, Jason. All right? Starting when I say go, you only reply to Arthur or Aquaman or my man.
Or Broseidon.
Or Broseidon. King of the Brocean.
Well, Mike, thanks again for coming on to Foodie Films. And if you can just... remind maybe as maybe in an Aquaman voice or I don't know,
yeah,
to remind the foodie fans that there's more to cut.
There's more to cut, bro.
Woo!
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just a wild.